We may be getting a handle on the abuse of opioid painkillers in this country, but it's a slow process, with overdose deaths by the dozens still reported every day. The opioid epidemic by that name is often connected to Appalachia and the Rust Belt, where economic misery is high. But researchers at the University of Michigan recently published research mapping the opioid epidemic county by county across the country, showing things like rates of overdose death and the prevalence of medical treatment programs to get people off opioids. The lead researcher is our guest. That is Rebecca Hoffagee, Assistant Professor of Health Management and Policy at the University of Michigan School of Public Health. Dr. Hoffagee, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So some of these figures, as we look at the opioid epidemic, still retain the power to shock. I mean, what are we talking about the numbers of people addicted and deaths per day, things like that?
Yeah. So, you know, the data we used for this paper were through 2017. Then we still had about 72,000 drug overdoses in the country, and about 47,600 of those were opioid related. So that's about 130 opioid overdose deaths per day. The latest data, I think CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, is going to come out with their provisional death counts for 2018 very soon. We're expecting that they're going to be fairly level with 2017, maybe marginally less, but still around the same magnitude.
All right, so that tells us that there's still a very high magnitude of problem here, which you obviously knew at the outset of the research. What was it you set out to do here?
So we were trying to compare those places that had high overdose rates from 2015 to 17, so using recent years of data, but then go a step further and think about how do those compare to the places that have treatment providers? You know, we knew that there was both high overdose death rates in many counties, but also a dearth of treatment providers to provide basically opioid addiction treatment and the medications specifically that are very strongly evidence-based. But, you know, people have looked at those separately, but we wanted to combine them and think about, you know, it's not just a question of having high overdose rates or, you know, low treatment provisions, but it's the combination of those two factors that makes a county particularly high risk. Because what that means is they've had high overdose for many years, and they still, at the end of 2017, didn't have good treatment provision to try to mitigate those risks. And those treatments, the medications, can realistically, you know, reduce deaths by, you know, 40 to 50, even 60% if they're given to a large swath of the population. So that's really meaningful.
So, Rebecca, did you get numbers for every county or its equivalent in the country?
We did, yes. Well, yeah, we looked at every county and looked at their risk status based upon those pieces I said. So the highest risk counties were those that both had above national overdose death rates and below national rates of treatment providers.
So then what emerges on the map? I mean, what are some of the clear patterns you're seeing, either in geographical distribution or, I mean, you just gave us part of it right there, obviously.
Yep. Yeah, so we found part of the reason we wanted to look at counties was, you know, a lot of prior researchers have just looked at states, and we knew there was lots of variation within states, and that's what we found. So even in areas like Appalachia, which is notoriously high risk, there are some counties that are doing better than others. And so some may have high overdose death rates, but they also have a fair number of treatment providers. But there are many counties that don't have that. Generally we did identify certain regions. So that included the East North Central region. That's a lot of Appalachia, and the South Atlantic. Again, a lot of Appalachia, but states like where I'm from, Michigan as well, much parts of the Midwest. Also, the mountain region we identified as a high-risk region. So some of the states there, including New Mexico, Utah, Nevada, and Arizona, that had a, you know, high density of high-risk counties.
We're talking about where in the country that there are problems with opioid addiction. I mean, it's all over the country, but certainly more acute in some places than others. And we're comparing some numbers here that were pulled in by Rebecca Hoffagee and a team at the University of Michigan. You can join the conversation with questions and comments here on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about the kind of treatment options you were looking at. When we're talking about medication treatment, this is programs like methadone, substituting another drug for the opioid?
Yes. Yeah. So there are three highly evidence-based medications to treat opioid use disorder or opioid addiction. They are methadone, which is provided in opioid treatment programs, buprenorphine, which is provided both in those treatment programs but also outpatient settings. Both of those are opioids themselves, so they act to kind of satisfy cravings. And then the third is naltrexone, and that's not an opioid. So that works to kind of block the opioid receptors. So we actually were looking at providers of all three of those medications, and then we did look at them independently as well to see, you know, if there were any differences that we were detecting. But the idea is that all three are very evidence-based, and, you know, clinicians think that the best course of treatment is to have all available because one might work for one patient and another might work for another patient, or, you know, you try one with a patient and that doesn't work and you need to have another option. So the ideal would be having providers of all three medications at your disposal if you're a patient in the throes of opioid addiction.
All right. So it's not just a matter of having a methadone program. You want to have methadone, buprenorphine, and naltrexone, all three available.
Yep. Yeah.
In the places that they're not all available, do you know why that is? Were you able to get into that level of detail?
Well, I mean, we identified characteristics of counties that had low treatment availability and high overdose deaths. And so some things that were emerging there as risk factors were high levels of unemployment, low density of primary care providers, because primary care providers are the ones that are providing a lot, particularly the buprenorphine and the naltrexone. They are the dominant prescribers of those medications. And so not having a lot of those is going to be a problem because then you have just less who would even be willing to prescribe. We also found, interestingly, that metropolitan status was another risk factor. That was a bit of a surprise because we thought that rural counties would be higher risk. And I think the reason we found that was that a lot of urban areas, in, you know, using more recent years of data, are in the throes of the fentanyl and illicit synthetic opioid crises. And so that's where those drugs have really penetrated. So although there are treatment providers in those urban locations, for example, there is typically an opioid treatment program in a big city, there's just not enough to try to mitigate the volume of deaths that are happening from those extremely potent opioids in those locales.
So even if the treatment programs are in place, sometimes there's another variable like that, like fentanyl coming into the market that can make a difference.
Yep, and we just need more treatment providers to try to capture those patients before they overdose and die.
Rebecca, I have to ask if there is still some resistance to the idea of the medical opioid use treatment programs. If there's still this people getting their back up against the idea of treating drug abuse with more drugs.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think we're doing all that we can as researchers, and you know, I give credit to the federal government in more recent years and months in terms of really promoting the efficacy and need for these medications. You know, I think years ago there were different messages that were being brought down from, you know, the government, and I'm glad to see that those have changed. But there absolutely is still stigma associated with these medications, and especially I think in some rural areas or areas where, you know, they're not as mainstream yet. So that's a definite component, both on the provider side, because some providers have stigma attached with, you know, I don't want to be using these medications, I don't want to take on this challenging patient population, and then be giving people opioids to treat their addiction, but also just from the patient side as well, and the population side. And so there are these issues where a patient doesn't want to be seen in a rural area with their car parked at an opioid treatment program or substance abuse facility, because then people in their town will know what they are there for. And so things like that. So it is, you know, something that we need both in the medical community, but also in the larger population to change, so that people feel very supported and welcome and good about getting these treatments that are highly efficacious.
I forgot about that, the social part of it, that even if you can get an effective program to a rural area, there might be a local stigma attached to it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I want to talk about the MAPS, two in particular, about the rates of overdose deaths, mm-hmm. and then the MOUD provider rate, the medical opioid mm-hmm. use the problems, the programs available. So in our region, Humboldt County, California, has the highest rate. That's above 21 deaths per 100,000 population. Siskiyou County is a bracket down from that. Another bracket down, you find Lane County, Oregon, Josephine County, Oregon, Shasta County, California, in the lower rank. I mean, is there any consistency consistent predictor of what makes a county opioid high risk?
I think it has sort of changed a little bit over time, but we have seen consistency in the areas that have high overdose rates. What we do see, actually, what's interesting, when some other, there's one set of researchers that disaggregated the deaths by type of drug, by type of opioid, and what you can see from those, if you look over time, is the spread of the prescription opioid-related overdose deaths at the county level, and then the fentanyl and heroin are kind of following on the footsteps of those. So the places that had a lot of prescription opioid overdose deaths for a long time then have now largely high fentanyl deaths. So it's almost like, you know, it's the next step in a sequence. And some of that, I think, is, you know, some of it's urban areas, but also some of it's the illicit drug suppliers are flocking to the places where they know that there are a problem, you know, where there's a whole population that has addiction. And so there is a demand for the drug. And so why would they not set up these distribution networks? So that's some of what we're seeing. But there are some places where the prescription opioids have really remained the story. There are some pockets in Appalachia and some rural areas where fentanyl and some of these illicits really haven't yet penetrated those markets. So some of that's what we track over time and where we can see some consistency in those, in these areas. But you know, I think the larger story is geographically they've been fairly consistent, but there is, you know, even within those, within Appalachia, there are lots of different characteristics of these different counties. So some are rural, some are not as rural, some are, you know, medium income, some are really low income. And the major takeaway is, you know, this epidemic actually is hitting all different types of populations and areas.
Rebecca Haffagee is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, an assistant professor of health management and policy at the University of Michigan School of Public Health, led a research team to look at U.S. counties with high opioid overdose mortality and low capacity to deliver medications for opioid use disorder, recently published in one of the JAMA journals. You can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I have to ask about the counties with no data. Were they not reporting? Was the data not available? What was the issue you ran into there?
Yeah, so we had data for the providers for all counties, but what we didn't have was always the death data. And that the reason for that is that the Centers for Disease Control that manages all this data, they don't report death rates, even if it's over several years, if it's below 10, essentially. So 10 in the count within the geographic locale. And the reason for that is a privacy issue, because they don't want, you know, if it's a really small area and there are 10 people that died, then maybe you could figure out who those people were. So they suppress that data. So for those counties, we were not able to come up with, you know, a risk status because we didn't have the death data. It's fairly likely that they're not high risk because they, you know, by definition, because they're suppressed, they have a low number of deaths, but they could have a really low population as well, and so could possibly be high risk.
All right, so another map I did want to talk about was the one that shows the medication programs available for OUD, opioid use disorder, and this one shows four categories. It shows a high MOUD provider rate combined with a low opioid overdose death rate. Then you got low, low, high, high, and low, high. Two mm-hmm. of the counties I previously mentioned, Siskiyou and Humboldt, both have high MOUD provider rates and high opioid overdose death rates. I mean, what would cause, how do you interpret the high rates of both together?
Yeah, so that's telling us that those counties have had a lot of overdose deaths from 2015 to 17, but they actually have a reasonable provision of treatment providers. So they are trying to, you know, address some of those harms. And so if we looked into the future in, you know, 3 to 5 years' time, maybe their death rates would have reduced because they have, you know, more adequate treatment provision to try to mitigate future deaths, essentially is what that's telling us. But they still remain, you know, at high risk for deaths as of the end of 2017.
Is there general growth in the programs, the medical programs, to help people get off of opioids?
Yeah, that's a great question. So opioid treatment programs, there has not been much growth over time. Those are federally regulated, and again, that's the only place that methadone can be provided in a supervised setting. Those have been, the supply has been very steady over time. Where we have seen most of the growth is in the buprenorphine providers, and again, that's the opioid partial agonist that can be provided in outpatient settings, so you can go to your primary care physician and get a prescription and then go and fill it. And those have increased quite a bit over time, and we keep seeing that trend increasing. So a lot of our results actually were accounted for by the buprenorphine alone. When we disaggregated by medication, the buprenorphine results were quite consistent with all three together. Where we saw a little bit more variation was in the opioid treatment programs and the naltrexone, because there are just many less providers of those medications at the moment.
Got about 2.5 minutes left. Let's take a call here from Ron and Eugene for Rebecca Haffagy at the University of Michigan. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I had a question about the stats that were being quoted. I was wondering, the overdose deaths, what percentage of those were caused strictly by opioids that were prescribed and no other drugs were involved?
Okay, just the prescribed painkillers. Thanks for that, Ron. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'd have to look back at the specific figures, but the vast majority by 2017, about two-thirds were fentanyl-related, and so prescription opioids were accounting for a much lesser percentage. Those had started to decrease over time. And then the other issue is when the CDC categorizes these deaths, they attribute to the main drug cause of death, but there can be multiple drugs in the system and even multiple causes of death. So if you look at the number of opioid deaths, for example, the total across all opioids would sum to more than the total of all opioid deaths. And the reason for that is because there could have been two opioids in the system that are both being attributed as a cause of death. So it is a bit complicated to figure that out. I would say approximately a third of the deaths were prescription opioid related, and that was a main cause of death, but we can't rule out based upon the data that there was no other drug in the system.
Ron, thanks for the question, and thank you, Rebecca, for making it clear that it's hard to find an answer. About 30 seconds left, Rebecca. What would you like to see done with the information you've pulled up here?
Yeah, so a large reason we did the study was to try to pinpoint those areas and those risk factors that made counties, you know, particularly susceptible to continued harms in this opioid crisis. So what we would love to see is state policymakers take this information, and they get, you know, large amounts, millions of dollars from the federal government, and they have money in their own budgets to put towards the opioid crisis specifically. So think about funneling that to those specific counties we've identified as high risk, and then also think about putting money towards some of these other risk factors we identified. So thinking about how can we improve employment opportunities, how can we get more primary care physicians to these locales, those kinds of things that might help to augment treatment and turn the corner on this crisis.
The whole picture. Rebecca Haffagy at the University of Michigan, thank you so much. Bottom of the hour, here's Marketplace Tech.